Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Here I am in St John's College Chapel, Oxford. This is where Tony Blair got married. But don't let that put you off. There are some good things about it. And look at this vainglorious monument to an old member of the college who died in the 17th century. Shan't bother reading it all, it's in Latin. Here on a little anti-chapel. I don't think they got married in the anti-chapel. Anti as in A-N-T-E, as in before chapel, not against chapel, or A-N-T-I. So, surely it's somewhat going against Christianity to be memorialising this person as much as Christ. And look at this, not much perspective in that rather infantile image of Jesus. And they've got some fine stained glass windows there, one on the left to William Laud, Archbishop of Canterbury, under Charles I, later executed for treason and heresy, partly on the basis of the porch he had built on St. Mary's, the Virgin, the University Church here in Oxford, said that it was a popish style because he was believed in Arminianism, worshipped the Lord in the beauty of holiness, as in the Psalms, bringing back Catholic traditions within the Church of England. Richard Bailey, don't know who he is, William Juxon, chaplain to King Charles I, who ministered to him right before he met his doom, and indeed was allowed to retire to the countryside, brought back into favour with the restoration of the monarchy in 1660. Okay, so various memorials. Look at the draped urn, a standard of 17th and 18th century funerary sculpture, although the cloth is not actually on the urn. It's here, it's suspended above it, as it were, as though that contained the ashes, even though cremation was highly unusual for the 20th century. It's just borrowing from Roman funerary sculpture. And so on. Various memorials here to distinguished sons of this house. And then if you look at the ceiling, so often it's worth looking at the ceiling in Oxford. How about that? You get to see up my nostrils at the same time. You lucky ducks. Okay? So they've got mitres, as in for bishops, like the tongues of flame and so on. Okay? And then in the 20th century, they have some memorials to people, and it's in English. And there's one to a woman who was married to the president of the college. There are various heads of houses in Oxford. They all have different titles: president, provost, warden, dean, master, whatever, rector, but generically it's head of house. And the black and white tiled floor, like checkered floor. So I don't know why the Church of England quite often does that, especially for these, what are they? Especially for college chapels. And look, buried under the floor is a previous head of the house. Okay, anyway, so there's the altar with the two candles. Church of England's always got two, Catholic Church has always got three. This one, the year of foundation is easy to remember, 1555, founded by Mary Tudor, Bloody Mary, she's known as, by Protestants, as an executing 300 people in 5 years. Now, Elizabeth I executed a similar number of people, but over 45 years. Obviously, no one should be executed for his or her religious faith. And more stained glass windows. Fine hammer beam roof, that. So this, obviously, attendance at the chapel was compulsory until the 19th century. So it gives you an idea how people could fit in. And then, yeah, look here. As always in the Anglican churches, the lectern, as in the Bible stand, is in the shape of an eagle. So which John the Baptist is it? Well, it's Collegium Johanni Baptisti. It's in honour of St. John the Baptist. It's a famous... old members would be Tony Blair and Kingsley Amis. Can't think of anyone else right now. And look at that. Look at their coat of arms. So it's, as people say, it's the richest college. I don't know if that's true, but it is a very rich college. And then they give everybody £900 a year, regardless of needs. Spend on whatever you want to spend on. 900 quid a year. So there are more little memorials out here at the corridor. I wanted to go into Balliol, but... It was not open for a very curious reason. The Emperor of Japan's visiting right now. Might be left by the time I get out. Okay, so you see more memorials, some people who died quite young. So now there are all these apocryphal tales that you can walk from here to London on St. John's land all the way. I don't know if that's true. I've heard that said about various colleges in Oxford and Cambridge, but it's true in a broader sense, even if not a literal sense, that it does own a lot of property. I'm not sure why, who gave it all this. I don't think it was Mary Tudor. So the idea, this was to sort of spearhead the Counter-Reformation. But obviously, then Elizabeth I came back in and it became Anglican. Now, that doesn't matter very much these days because you can be any religious denomination or none and attend any Oxford college. They're not allowed to discriminate. They wouldn't ask you. Some people go to chapel every Sunday. Some people never ever go in there in 3 or 4 years at the college. So that is St. John's. So yeah, I remember I competed against a university challenge many years ago. And what else about it? Rob Linham, Aaron Bell, who's now the Conservative MP, Patrick Finglas, who's now a classics don, some university in Western England, and so on. This is the main quadrangle, or quad, as we say for short. Anything else you should know about here? Well, Andrew Smith, who was the Labour MP for East Oxford for many years, he attended this college, overlapped with Tony Blair. Ross McKibben was a fairly famous history don. So yeah, Blair was here in the mid-70s, reading law, and he got a 2-1. So he eschewed politics, just put his nose in his books, and was fascinated by McMurray. McMurray was a philosopher. They dropped in on him in Edinburgh one time. McMurray died a few years later. There was a mature student who was an Australian Anglican priest, and Tony Blair had his rather twee and high-minded debates with him. And he said, oh, that's what got him into politics, this philosophizing, rather than just vanity. So it may be hard to believe, but yes, these really are undergraduates' bedrooms around here. And it's very fragrant today. Although it's somewhat cloudy, it's not too hot, and it's not raining at least. So what else can I tell you? It's actually quite big. They've got a big auditorium at the back, like little theatre. I saw a performance in there many years ago, and I went to a talk here once by the chief rabbi, the late Lord Jonathan Sacks, and then bumped into him about a year and a half before he died. Bumped into him in London. Was on his way to the synagogue one Sabbath. It was in the St. John's Wood area, and here I am in St. John's, okay? A curious circularity to my life. So no public access, I'm not sure that includes me or not. Anyway, so that's a little bit of here. Oh yeah, St. Edmund Campion here was a Catholic saint, was indeed a fellow, like a don of the college, tutoring here. So you've got some sort of idea of the dimensions of it, and that these fairly horrid 20th century buildings. Then they own some property off the main site. Some houses converted into undergraduate accommodation. So the battels are quite low, as in the bills they charge you for your meals and so on, because they can afford to subsidise them. What else might you want to know about St. John's? I'll mention Kingsley Amis, the widely appreciated novelist, author of One Fat Englishman, and he was here during the Second World War. There must be more luminaries who attended St. John's, but I can't think of who they are right now. So very, very difficult to get into, precisely because it's famous and it's so wealthy, so there are financial advantages to attending this one. Right, that's it. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, and come and study at St. John's. Goodbye, everyone.